I think Omar Khan said it best earlier today on the South Side. These next 3 days are going to feel like a year as we build up slowly, very slowly, to the start of the 2024 NFL Draft. And a good Monday afternoon, everybody, on April 22nd, 2024. 3 days and some change left until that day begins. NFL Draft Thursday, this Thursday, at 8 o'clock, I believe the TV special starts, which means the first pick won't be made until about midnight Eastern time, of course. I'm only half kidding. He's Chris Halleck. I'm Corey Chris. And, of course, you are on the South Side Beat. What's up, Chris?
Nothing much, man. It's draft week. I'm excited. Lots of reason to be excited. It's the crown jewel of the NFL offseason. You know, this is, you know, obviously for us, like, and for everybody else who works in the media, it's a lot of homework, you know, a lot of, you know, trying to dig and get answers, you know, as reporters. And then, obviously that's very difficult to do because, you know, as you probably noticed today, if you tuned into the press conference, like, their teams aren't just going to hand out their strategy ahead of the draft. They're not just going to be, oh yeah, by the way, we're doing this, we're doing that. So, it's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out. But really quick, just quasi breaking news here, like not that big of a deal, just more reinforcing of stuff that happens. Adam Schefter just tweeted, I would assume John Lynch is speaking right now, as a lot of teams are addressing the media ahead of the draft. John Lynch, via Adam Schefter on Twitter, quote, our wish, this is on Brandon Ayuk, quote, our wish is that he is here for the rest of his career, unquote.
Okay.
So I keep getting questions about Brandon Ayuk and like live cues and stuff like that. The name keeps coming up and stuff. I spent like almost an entire episode last week just telling everybody, like, listen, stop getting excited about the potential of this happening. It's probably not happening. Most likely not happening. I'm just going to keep reinforcing that. So let's focus on the draft and not trade rumors here.
Let's see how much he's telling the truth. Only time will tell with respect to that. But as B. Phil says here, and it's kind of a talking point to start on, he says the Steelers' strategy isn't going to be a surprise. And I think B. Phil's just about correct. Offensive line, wide receiver are the priorities. And look, again, Omar Khan, Mike Tomlin, we're never going to give away the farm in today's press conference, which I was in the room for along with DK on the South Side. Mm-hmm. But all of the conversation was about those three positions, and you can include cornerback in there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's pretty evident where the Steelers are going to go early on in this draft. It's just a matter of what order they do it in. And look, they made their board. They made the top 20 available. They did their homework on everything. And now they're waiting, right? By this point, I think every team, if not most of the teams, have a really good idea of what they want to do with their respective picks. Yeah. Now, Omar Khan certainly did not slam the door on a potential trade. Certainly did not slam the door on taking a quarterback late. He certainly didn't slam the door on much today. So
I think he slammed the door on one thing when it came to a trade. I don't think I think he did all but slam the door on a trade down scenario. Mm-hmm. If they are building a board for 20 players in the first round, that would tell me that they're not trading down. And then when specifically asked about, you know, trading down and stuff like that, he said if there's a good player there, trading down doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, it's me paraphrasing it a little bit, but that's essentially what he said. And so that to me is, again, I would be shocked if the Steelers traded down. I think that there's I've been saying this for weeks. I think there's a much higher chance that they trade up, possibly to get a center or to get a tackle that they really like. First round is it's the best opportunity to get a really good tackle, and that really goes in any draft, but especially this particular draft where there are 6-7 tackles all worth taking in the first round.
It's just a matter of how they get there. It feels like obviously there are more needs pressing than just tackle, and
for sure,
you know, today I'm writing about the offensive lineman. You'll read that later on. And DK is going to write about a different position. I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to spoil too much. But I will be writing about the offensive line today. And a big portion of, I think, the tell, if you will, that the Steelers are prioritizing, without them saying anything, mm-hmm. it's them showing us and not telling us, it's how they utilized Isaac Williams this offseason. Isaac Williams, assistant offensive line coach, was everywhere for the Steelers this offseason. He did the NFL Combine. He did Senior Bowl. He did pro days. He did everything this offseason that you could potentially imagine for the Steelers on their behalf. And I'll have it later in writing. But, you know, I asked Omar Khan about the feedback they got from Isaac Williams. And look, there's a reason why, kind of like last year with Grady Brown, right? There's a reason mm-hmm. why they sent Isaac Williams all over creation this offseason. It's to look at offensive linemen that they're going to draft. So yeah. it's a matter of when. It's a matter of how. It's a matter of who. It's not a matter of if. So we'll just have to wait and see till Thursday where they're going. They certainly didn't tip the hand on any of that, but I agree. It seems like if they're really high on one of these offensive linemen, let's say between picks 12 and 18, maybe they move up. And they certainly seem okay with having to do so without having to give up too much. They would do the right thing by, you know, spending the appropriate amount of capital to move up if they so choose.
Right. And to add to your point about Isaac Williams, you know, I had reported exclusively a couple weeks ago and reinforced it again that offensive line coach Pat Meyer was specifically told to scout right tackles, like going on pro day stuff. Like when you're asking the offensive line coach who can look at any of the positions, center, guard, tackle, to scout right tackles, that tells you something. That tells you where the priorities lie.
Right.
And then again, you put that in the perspective of, hey, the Steelers had one coach at the Senior Bowl that was actually working with the players. And that was an offensive line coach, assistant offensive line coach. Again, they're telling you where their priorities are. And at that point it was so what is going to be the main priority? Cause we know the guard is pretty much taken care of with Sam Mullen and Daniels. Mm-hmm. And so like, would it be center or tackle? And that was really the big question. And then as we've continued to learn information and gain intel, it looks like tackle is the main priority here. And so at that point, it's like, okay, so what do they do? And the really good question here from Attention. Sorry if I say this wrong. Attention Fan says, what's the highest you see them trading up theoretically? Honestly, that's difficult to predict because it depends on – I think it would depend on the player. I think if, like, there's a certain situation where Joe Alt falls to 12th, you know, now granted he's a left tackle, but I'm just throwing a for instance out there. If Joe Alt falls to 12, which 99% of the time in mock drafts, that's not happening. But I'm just saying for whatever reason he falls, then maybe they have a scenario played up in which they're willing to make a trade at 12 for a tackle of that caliber. Maybe I think what they have when they're, again, this is without seeing the big board, but I think they have like certain spot, like there are certain tackles that if they fall to a certain spot, they're like, okay, that is where we're willing to trade up to go get him. Like they might really like Fuaga, but they like him enough to trade up to maybe 14, but not all the way up to 12, or they really like him to trade up to 16, but not 14, whatever it is. I think that's probably the best way to describe it. And then there's probably a few tackles that are like within that 20 range, which is where they're at. That's probably the best way I can answer that without actually giving you like a hard answer, just because it's honestly impossible to predict.
I think one thing Omar Khan said was a really big, I mean, obviously everything he said was a big deal, but like one of the biggest deals that he said today was with respect to the center position. He has now been consistent across every phase of the offseason, whether that's combine week, at the owners' meetings, and now today, a week before the week of the draft, where he has been consistent in answering the same question about center in the same exact manner. He mm-hmm. has said, and I'm paraphrasing, that they are comfortable with the depth they have at the position right now. That translates to me two things. Number one, they believe in Nate Herbig's ability to play center. Number two, it doesn't sound like they're going to stretch if, like, a Zach Frazier. Remember when we did our mock draft together a couple weeks ago? We saw Zach Frazier at about 39, and he got picked, or 42, whatever it was. And we thought to ourselves, well, is that worthwhile a trade? If it sounds like to me, if Zach Frazier is gone by the time, you know, the mid-40s or the mid-30s comes around, they're not going to pay. They're not going to pay to move up to get him.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like if they're going to take Frazier or Powers Johnson, for that matter, they would have to go to them. They're not going to go up and get aggressive to get one of those two. That's what I took from Omar Khan's stance on the center. Because, again, the same answer has been given at every point of the offseason. Before they got to meet Powers Johnson and Frazier and Fatano and all the other players that could play center, and now after and during, they got to meet all of these players. So that was really important to me, his comments about the center position and how not only did he, I'm not going to say he refuted the idea of getting a center because you never know.
Yeah.
But again, he remained consistent throughout all levels of this offseason in talking about that position. And if they really feel in their heart of hearts that Nick Herbig's going to be their starting center week one and they're okay with that, they're not going to move up to get Frazier or Powers Johnson or trade back into the first round or anything like that. That's the sign. That's the signal that I got from Omar Khan.
The one thing that interests me is because it does fly in the face of what I heard earlier in the offseason. Now, granted, I heard this very, very early in the offseason, and things can change over the course, you know, of this entire process. But I had heard that James Daniels is not moving, that he's staying at guard. Now, again, things change, plans change. And if there's a certain player that they can get in round two or round three or, you know, fourth round or, you know, whatever, where, listen, we can upgrade our guard position and always have James Daniels move over if he's comfortable doing that. I don't think that necessarily is going to happen. But again, plans change. We'll see what happens here. So it is interesting. It's also really interesting to hear Omar say something along the lines of that there, I don't remember exactly what he said, if it was like, if he said there were several starter capable centers or not in this, you know, I don't know about right away, but to say that there were, he made it sound like there were more than just three guys who can come in and be starters. And then maybe not day one starters, but, you know, possibly, you know, maybe some point during the season they can become a starter or something like that. I don't know. But that was interesting to me too. Like, maybe they feel really good about the group of centers beyond Barton, Powers, Johnson, and Frazier. Like, do they feel good about the Cedric Van Prans or you know, the kid from Penn State or
Orzad or McCormick from South Dakota State.
There's
several options in the mid rounds.
McCormick is really interesting to me because he was obviously a guard, and so, and they had him in for a pre-draft visit. So that to me, that's kind of a wild card to watch in the third or fourth round, probably more third round. But that to me, especially with like that 98th pick, like that to me is a pretty interesting place to possibly, you know, look at. Okay, maybe they take him there. So it's interesting for sure. But I think the Steelers understand how important tackle is, and I think that's why this has consistently been. I think this has consistently been why not only what I've been hearing, but what a lot of people have been hearing, that tackle is so important, is just because it is that important of a position. And that's why they're, and you know, Cody says it right here. He says they're clearly considering about the future picking right tackle over center. I mean, I mean, yes, you have Dan Moore now, but Dan Moore's under contract for one more year. I mean, it's, if you can get yourself two tackles at a low cost for at least three seasons, why, like, why is that a bad thing?
Yeah. Mark says, we picked up former Pro Bowl center for the Rams. They didn't sign Brian Allen. They checked in on him, but they didn't sign him. So the Steelers option is at center is still wide open. All right. Norseman says, how can you guys still listen to what they say? They literally said the quarterback of this year was in the room, then traded one and let the other one walk. Why would they tell the media their plan? Like, look, last year when Mike Tomlin was put in that spot, you have to consider what was going on, okay? They're not going to sit there with Mason Rudolph as a pending free agent who just played the best at that position in 2 years. And then Kenny Pickett, who is, I would say, on life, not on life support, but he's kind of, you know, fledgling at this point, right? Consider the timing of this answer. You're not going to sit there and say, well, no, we have to go get a quarterback at that time where Mason Rudolph is a pending free agent and the interest is clearly there at that point to bring Mason back. And when Kenny Pickett's still there and still has 2 years left on a rookie contract, they're not going to say, well, even though we have those two guys or that one guy, no, the current quarterback of next year is not on our roster. They're not going to throw guys under the bus like that. So you consider the comment and consider the timing and consider the spot they were on. So I throw that comment away, to be completely honest with you.
I mean, again, plans change throughout the offseason.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, in January, Kenny Pickett was absolutely part of their plan. They get Russell Wilson. Kenny Pickett asked for a trade. What are they going to do? I mean, they can, you know, hold him down and, you know, tie him to a post to the field goal post on the south side and say, you're staying here no matter what. But they had already talked to the Bears about Justin Fields because this is why GMs do work all across, you know, and talk to, I honestly can't believe we're even still talking about this. Like this is what GMs do. They talk to all the other GMs. They, you know, especially when you're trying to add to the quarterback room, possibly even upgrade the quarterback room. You talk to a lot of people. You talk to a lot of teams and see what's there, what's not there. They didn't even, Mike Tomlin said they didn't even reach out to Kirk Cousins because they knew he was going to be out of the price range. But, you know, they knew they could get Russell Wilson on a dime. Why not bring him in? They talked to the Bears about Justin Fields. Okay, the price isn't going to be nearly as bad as we thought. Maybe if things don't work out, either with Russell Wilson or anything like that, maybe we can trade for Justin Fields. I don't think the plan was to trade for Justin Fields when they first signed Russell Wilson. That Kenny's trade request made them pivot. So
if you go into a job interview and the interviewer asks, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And your answer is not, I'm going to be in this company in 5 years. You're not getting that job. Plain and simple. It's the same exact concept. Like if you ask Omar Khan or Mike Tomlin, who the quarterback of 2024 is, when they still have an option on the roster at 2024, they're not going to say anything but that option to piss that guy off. Yeah. They're not going to do it. Now, at the end of the day, that guy ended up getting pretty pissed off at the situation that he was put in, but here we are.
One of the shout this person out real quick.
Yeah.
Listening from Greece. First time Steelers fan has been interested in the offseason here. That's awesome.
It's like 10 p.m. there. You're up late.
Thank you so much. I've been to Greece one time in my life. It was on my honeymoon. It was absolutely gorgeous. We did Rhodes, Mykonos, and I don't remember the name of the third place, but it was where like the original Olympics were held. It was obviously all touristy stuff about doing a cruise, but still Mykonos was gorgeous. Loved it. So nice. Thank you so much for listening all the way from Greece. That's awesome.
Yeah. And Brent, by the way, thank you for the 5 gifted memberships. We did not forget you. We appreciate that. And if you picked one up, drop an emoji, give a thank you to Brent for all of that. What do you got?
No, I was just going through more. No. Yeah, it's just, you know, Nico said, you know, it's kind of reinforcing what we said. Tomlin also said that the offseason plans were in the infancy about 100 times in that presser. And yeah, they are. You know, it's unfair to go back to what was said at the beginning of the offseason and then, you know, go even right now, like we're at the week of the draft, and to say, well, they went back on what they were saying. Like, again, you know, plans change, things change, circumstances change. You know, I don't think that when Mike Tomlin was standing behind that podium, he was like, okay, we have a really good shot at getting Patrick Queen in free agency. Like, you don't know. You just don't know. You have to go in. And that's why people like Omar Khan are doing everything they can to explore every single avenue possible, because you have to be prepared for anything to happen. You have to be prepared for, okay, when we sign Russell Wilson, we expect Kenny to take that on as a, okay, that's cool. I'm still going to be the starting quarterback. I'm still going to win the job. No big deal. But then if he turns around and he goes, yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. I kind of want to be somewhere else. And then you go, well, crap, we didn't talk to anybody else. Now we're scrambling to find a backup plan. This is why GMs talk. This is why they talk about things that may never end up happening.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait for Thursday, says Hugo. Neither can we. As Omar Khan said, it feels like the time between now and Thursday is going to be about a year.
It's going to yeah.
It kind of has been in some respects.
For sure.
Mark asks, how pressing is the need to acquire youthful linebacker depth for Patrick Queen? And today, Omar Khan talked in brief about Cole Holcomb. Didn't really delve into details about the rehab, but you know they seem pleased with where he was at with everything. They are checking in on inside linebackers, at least two of them. They brought in Peyton Wilson, who's widely considered as the top one in the class, and then Junior Colson out of Michigan, who could be like a day two, day three guy. It seems like to me the depth options at day three of the draft, like they're not obvious, but they're obviously going to be dictated in some ways by what they do on the first and second days in part. But like, it seems pretty practical to pick up a depth linebacker on day three. It seems practical to pick up maybe a depth cornerback, even if they draft one on day two, or depth wide receiver, even like double dip on those positions on day three, even if they get one on day one or day two.
Yeah. Brent asked a really good question here, because some people might not know. He says, Andy has a reputation of drafting goons. How much input does he actually have? Andy Weidel is the assistant GM. He builds the draft board. That is his role in this entire process. So once all the homework is done and they begin building the board, he's the one who builds the board. Now, you'd be like, oh, wow, Andy Weidel is right there when it comes to making decisions. Well, to a certain extent, yes. But really, the decisions that are made on draft night, on Thursday night, on Friday night, and Saturday, you know, midday / afternoon, those decisions are made by three guys: Mike Tomlin, Omar Khan, Art Rooney II.
Yep.
Though that is the triad of decision makers. And obviously, Andy Weidel has a big influence in that because he does build the board. But that, again, goes, it's not like he's got some sort of dictator power over, okay, I'm going to build it my way, the way I like it. No, he takes input from what Omar and Tomlin have learned on the throughout their homework done. Then there's the entire scouting department. They have input on that too. So it really is a collective effort, but Andy does spearhead that by building the draft board.
Yes, he does. Let's see. Is Miles Jack still inside Las Vegas? And yes, so. He is.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be coming back unless it's on the cheap and it's late in the summer. Like, that's where I feel like Miles Jack, if he was going to be a Steeler again, would come back. And then Vegas adds, I hope they re-sign Eric Rowe. You never know. When it comes to the safety depth, like, adding Elliott was a really big piece, I think. Now, behind Macon Fitzpatrick and DeMonte KZ, you know, once those two went down, and of course Trent Thompson's there, they're kind of set on depth. So I'm not really sure they're going to be pressed on safety. Hey Butter asks, do you guys see the Steelers double dipping on wide receivers? I think it's possible, but the right wide receiver would have to be there on day three, I think.
Probably. Yeah. I don't see any of the, like, the, as of right now, let's just assume that the Steelers hold on to the first four picks that they have, and which are in the first three rounds. I don't see two of those picks going to receivers. I'd be kind of shocked if that didn't end up happening, just because I think we can just put a high percentage on that tackle is going to be in the first round in some form or fashion.
Yeah.
And so then you're talking about, okay, probably a good chance that one of those other three picks in rounds two and three is a receiver. And then, you know, possibly defensive line, center, cornerback. There's a few other positions that I would assume that would be there, that in which probably garner a little bit more attention than getting a second receiver. Like I said, probably day three might be a more likely scenario if they do double dip.
Yeah. I'm pulling up the comment that was made about Arthur Smith. Okay, here it is right here. Pittman asks, so the Steelers' new offensive coordinator doesn't have any input. Well, that's not exactly what they said. Mike Tomlin was asked about Arthur Smith's input on the draft and how this whole process leads to quote-unquote Steeler decisions, and that Smith is a part of that. Tomlin used the words big component of it, but as all the other coaches have. And then he later would add that Smith has done a nice job of infusing himself into things immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't dismissive of Arthur Smith's role, but they also weren't like, yeah, he's got a huge place in this, which was kind of interesting to hear.
But, just to kind of reiterate here, I think you could just safely assume that every single person, whether it's an executive, a coach, or a scout, they all have some influence in this entire process. Arthur Smith is not being like tucked away in some corner saying like, yeah, we don't need to, you know, what you have to say is not important. Obviously, they're going to want to get guys who are going to fit his system or fit what the Steelers want to do on offense. And those conversations have already been had from the time that they interviewed him.
Right.
So, yes, Arthur Smith absolutely has influence here. I just don't think it's the high level of influence that some people might think, just because, you know, there's a lot of other people that have studied these players much more often than Arthur Smith has. The good thing about having Arthur Smith here, now granted, doesn't necessarily help. Well, it could help a little bit in this draft class, a little bit, is that he was formerly a head coach.
Right.
And so he might have some, now again, not as much into this class, but he might still know some of these players from being previously a head coach and, you know, going about his business while he was with the Falcons. And so, again, everybody has some sort of influence. Everybody does. It's just, there are obviously going to be certain people who have more influence. The higher ups, typically it's a little bit more.
That's right. What do we feel about, like, hold on, I'm going to take this comment down. What do we feel about this comment from Hey Butter? I have a strong feeling that first round will either be Fuaga or Mims. The most definitely second round will be center Frazier. Listen, if Frazier's there at 51,
well, you run to the podium.
You run to the podium. But Again, with the comments that they made, that Omar Khan made today, mm-hmm. and at the owners' meetings and at the combine, which are the same comments across the board, it doesn't seem to me like they're pressing to go grab a center, to get aggressive for a center. Like, it feels like maybe they're just telling us something that we're not willing to listen to. And they're telling us exactly what they feel, and we're not listening to it because we believe on the outside that Herbig's not good enough to play center, or Daniel's not good enough to play center, not that he will, or McCollum's not good enough. Like, maybe they're telling us exactly how they feel, and we're just not listening to it. That's my thought on that.
No, I think, you know, your feeling on, you know, Fuaga or Mims in the first round is solid. They really love Fuaga, and there's a lot of reason to believe that they like Mims too. However, when you're talking about the second round, I think if Frazier's there at 51, it's a slam dunk, you run to the podium. But I don't think, if you listen to what Omar's been saying, I don't think center is as big of a need that they think center is as big of a need as we all think it is. I think that if you have the possibility, if Zach Frazier is still there at 40 or 42 or whatever it is, and you need to trade up a bit, I think it's worth trading up to go get the guy. I think that that would be a major upgrade compared to what they have now. But just because I think that does not mean that that's what they think. And to be fair, they know more than I do.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, if I were hired to be a GM or assistant GM or even a scout, I'd be fired very quickly. I don't know what I'm doing compared to what those guys are doing.
Give yourself some credit. If you had those resources like they did, I mean, if anybody did.
But I don't have those right now. And so me giving my opinion on where it's worth taking Zach Frazier doesn't mean anything compared to what they think. Now, they might be holding their cards close to the chest on this whole center stuff. They also might be telling you exactly what they think. They might be, and listen, anything that's being said today, take it with a grain of salt to a certain extent, because they are not going to tip their hand on what they're doing.
That's right.
That's why you didn't hear them come out and say, yeah, we really love tackle, and that's what we really want in the first round. They're not going to say that. Then that literally puts it out there for everybody to know. Even if the other 31 teams already know that, at least there's still some sort of, you know, like maybe they're thinking another way. They're just kind of putting up a front. You know,
Teresa says it scares me to think they could get by without drafting a center. I don't think that's to say they're not going to draft one.
Yeah,
I think that means they're not going to prioritize it early. Like, if they took an option, with their first pick of the fourth round, we'd probably be okay with it. If it's not starting, if it's not Barton or Powers Johnson or Frazier or even Van Pran, but it's still a center, it's still an option at that position. Okay, that's something, but. If it doesn't sound like to me, they're going to get aggressive for that position. That's just what I took from that. That's why I wanted to bring that up. Like, yeah. I think the positions they would get aggressive on are wide receiver and tackle early on. Those are the two positions that I think are the most likely in the first round, that they covet the most in this class, and that they would be willing to move up for, if at all.
I have reason to believe that Cooper DeJean is also higher up on their board than some people are thinking.
I would tend to believe that
too. Now I realize now, I did a mock draft on Friday and I took Cooper DeJean in the first round.
I saw the results.
So I mainly did that just because, like, in the moment I was about to choose a tackle, and then in the moment I'm like, let's see what happens here. Like, let's see how the rest of the draft shakes out here if they take Cooper DeJean in the first round. And you can see the challenges of trying to address tackle, trying to address center. You know, you can see those challenges there. And so, but again, I have reason to believe that if tackle does not work out in the first round, just because they really want to tackle, just they might not be able to find a partner to trade up with there. And when they get to 20, any of the tackles that are available, they're like, they're not as good of a player as Cooper DeJean. They won't have as big of an impact on this organization as Cooper DeJean. And if there is a round in which you have to really have that best player available mentality, it's the first round, because that is where you're going to get the cream of the crop in this class. And if the best tackle on the board is Tyler Guyton at 20, but Cooper DeJean is sitting there, I'm sorry, it's Cooper DeJean 10 times out of 10, in my opinion. And you know, Cody, you know, asked, like, DeJean as a slot or move Jackson inside. I think Cooper DeJean is most likely a guy who can move all around the defense. So I would keep Jackson where he's been playing. And Teresa says DeJean's really a safety. I disagree. I think he could play anywhere. He can play safety. He can play slot corner. He can play outside if need be, but he can play anywhere. And he's, you want to talk about it. I mean, if there's any coach in the NFL who loves splash, it's Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
And he is very transparent about that. And if there's any way that I could describe Cooper DeJean, the dude's a playmaker. Mm-hmm. He just does. And to me, it would be a pick that makes a lot of sense to me if tackle doesn't work out.
You brought up the name Hunter Norzad of Penn State,
yeah,
center. If you look at all of the projections, all of the mocks, all of the where could he fit, it's round four. It's day three. And at, what is he, 6'3", 317, 33 1/8 arms, not bad.
Arms are like okay.
27 bench press reps. He's a five-year player in college. Kind of fits.
5 years in the Big Ten is
well. I mean, he played three at Cornell and transferred. He played two in the Big Ten, but still,
okay. Yeah.
But still, played two seasons in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Can play guard. Can play center. Yeah. Looks more like a center. Like, if it's punt on center in the first three rounds, that is a prime candidate for day three.
And it just depends on what their thoughts are. You know, at center, they might be putting up a smoke screen. And that might be why. Hey, listen, tackle might be their priority in the first round. And, you know, I have every reason to believe that. But they might be trying to pump the brakes on center because they're, you know, they don't want people to know, hey, if there's an opportunity to get Zach Frazier, we're going to get him, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. We don't know. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know. The first hurdle before anything else is the first round. That's the first hurdle. And Mike Tomlin even explained the process today. It's not just one big process where you do round one, you go to sleep. You do a round two, rounds two and three, you go back to sleep. And then you do rounds four through seven. It's like, no, there's a complete reset after the first round. It really is a completely different process than it is with any other sport, you know, in which obviously Major League Baseball, it's like you got the first round or the first, you know, how many rounds they do the first night. I can't remember. I think they just do the first round, the first night, and then they do two through 10, and then 11 through 20.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a completely different process. And the first round changes everything. It really does. And so like trying to predict what's going to happen in rounds two and three right now is almost a fool's errand, just because they're, again, last year is a perfect example. I don't think vast majority of people saw Joey Porter Jr. not getting drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
Like
Nico brings up the name Mason McCormick. He says McCormick seems to fit what Mike Tomlin was laying out for a position convert today. McCormick did visit the South Side on one of his, on one of the Steelers' official visits. So that's certainly a guy that they're interested in. And if they want to move a guard to center, okay. That's a day two pick, probably. Probably with that second pick of the third round. So, look, you can't rule that out at center. And if they feel comfortable with position flexibility, or as Mike Tomlin would word it, positionless football, like, okay, if they're cool with that kind of thing, then maybe they find a guy like McCormick or Norzad or any other guard, even Grant Barton to an extent, and coach him up at center. Maybe they do that. All right. Good show today. It's just the tip of the iceberg with draft talk. We're going to have it all week, of course, here on the South Side Beat. Thursday's show is going to be impossible for me. Just based on what I've going on, I'm covering the Pirates game Thursday afternoon, and then I will be driving straight to the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex for the draft. So Chris will have you solo Thursday. Just again, because I won't be available. I can't be in two places at once. So
yeah.
Shows all week, 3 p.m. Eastern here on DK Pittsburgh Sports. Remember to subscribe, share this episode, leave a like. That goes a very long way, especially this week where you know, the NFL draft talk is going to be in your algorithm, I'm sure. We want to be at the top of that algorithm if you're not subscribed. But if you subscribe, you will be at the top of the algorithm. So we appreciate that. Check out the dkpittsburghsports.com, the site, for all of the content. Brent says draft party. I don't think that's going to be possible.
We'll see.
I don't know if that's going to be possible.
I don't want to make any promises, and I would temper any possible expectations of that happening. But we'll see. We're also in the process of putting together our game plan for Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday. So,
yeah. But which I will be on the South Side every night. So every day, every minute during the draft, I'll be there. Yeah. So
the good thing about Saturday is that, well, first off, unless they trade back to get into the seventh round, Saturday should be pretty, it won't be that late.
You say that.
Even if they do trade into the seventh round, but
you say that, we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. He's Chris. I'm Corey. And this has been the South Side Beat. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good day, everybody. Cheers.